Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Part of the loving heart of our Father, the Lord God, is He wants to take care of us. He said, He did say in His Word, He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." So that pretty much covers everything we need. He wants us to be stable in all areas of our life. And He wants us to flourish in all areas of our life. And one of the most intimate ways of Him reaching out to us is with the communion. See, the sacrifice of Jesus, His pure Son, cost Him everything. But it means everything to us. It didn't cost us anything, but we got everything out of it. He gave it to us freely. Jesus laid down His life for us. Nobody took it. There's a lot of people playing the blame game. You know, they blame different people for taking His life. Nobody could take His life. He freely gave it up. God wants us to look at that sacrifice of His Son when we take the communion so we can receive the blessing that it was meant for us to receive. When we look at this bread, He wants us to see His perfect, sinless Son being beaten and bruised. He was beaten for our transgressions, and He was bruised for our iniquities. Our transgressions are sins that we knew were sins before we did them. Our iniquities were sins that we didn't know they were sins when we did them. So He covered everything. Also, when we look at this, He wants us to see the stripes on His Son's back. The Bible tells us that it's by His stripes we were healed. And He wants us to see everywhere that His Son got pierced. Because everywhere Jesus' body got pierced, He shed blood. And everywhere He shed blood, we get redemption in some area. You know, He didn't just shed blood when He got pierced by the Roman spear. He shed blood when He got a crown of thorns. He shed blood, He got pierced in His hands. And He got pierced in His feet. Also, if you look at this bread, you'll notice that it's slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus. See, Jesus didn't deserve to die on the cross. We did. We did, but He didn't. God treated Jesus the way we deserved to be treated so that He could treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and our well-being, and we thank You, Father, for it in Jesus' name. The shed blood of Jesus so completely paid for our sins that it overpaid the debt. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we've been justified freely by His grace. You know, when we look at the bread and we say that the full wrath of God's fiery judgment His judgment was laid on Jesus. We were on that cross with Him. We got judged, and we also got justified freely. And it's because of that blood of Jesus that we can go boldly, with confidence, into His presence and receive mercy and grace in times of need. Because we've been put into right standing with Him. And everything that was wrong between us and God before we got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus, never to be seen again. We thank You for this in Jesus' name. All right. Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. And the very fact that you're breathing air today means that you have some kind of an impact in this world. See, there are some people that think they have a pretty insignificant life. But if you're breathing air, you've got some kind of impact in this world. Whether it be good or bad, you have an impact. And as a father, you have a huge impact. Now, one of the things about people is we need to be creative about improving our the atmosphere around us. We want it to be better, so we need to try to make things better, try to help things better. You know, and certainly one thing we can do is get people born again. That helps the atmosphere around us. Pray for people helps get the atmosphere around us. Now, does that mean you're not going to have an edgy day? That doesn't mean you're not going to have an edgy day. Everybody wakes up sometimes and they're just tired and grouchy. It happens. But, you know, you can do it consistently to the point where you have a real negative influence on the world around you. See, I've known people that the only reason they would go to their father's funeral is to make sure that they got 6 foot of dirt put on them. That man had a negative influence on the people around him. I also known kids that would drop their careers all the way across the country and move home to take care of their dad. Because their dad had such a positive, lasting effect on them that no matter what was going on, the kid dropped everything to come make sure dad was okay. See, I dealt with a lot of people. And a lot of the people that have the hardest time seeing the loving heart of God had a mean dad. And a lot of the people that have the easiest time receiving the loving nature of God are people that had a loving, nurturing father. See how much of an impact you have. Now, we all have an outlook. We all have to see things through our own eyes, so we need to adjust our eyesight sometimes. Just because things in the natural weren't good doesn't mean things in the supernatural can't be great. Let's look here at Luke chapter 15, verse 11. And this is Jesus talking here. He said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the young son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance on riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, Bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this is my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be married. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friend. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And we got a lot going on in there. We got a lot of different perspectives there. You know, a lot of people look at the prodigal son and they kind of focus on him, but there's a son that stayed there with the father. And he worked and worked and worked, and he did all the do's, and he didn't do any of the don'ts, but he didn't receive any of the good. He had a skewed vision of his father. Now the other one, he received his inheritance, and he blew it. You know, 1 John 3, whatever, says, Beloved, I wish that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. See, he got prosperity, but his soul was not prospered. He didn't have that soul development, and his dad turned him loose. See, a lot of people wait for their kid to get 18, and they're down the road. I mean, one man worked for me, and he said, We're going to have a party. He's telling me about his daughter. He said, We're going to have a party. And his daughter was having a hard time getting it through her head, and he said, No. We're going to have a graduation party, or we're going to have a going away party, but we're going to have a party. Either way, you're going to pack your bags and you're going to go down the road. He said, You know, sometimes people just kick them out and say, Get gone. And that's it. And you either swim or sink. Have you ever ran into any of those kids out there? A lot of them are sinking because they didn't learn to swim when they were at home. The most interesting thing I've noticed, I've watched kids, they turn out to be like their dads. If the dad is kind of a drunk and a wild, crazy guy, the kid a lot of times ends up being just like their dad. If their dad's a fighter, And a hellraiser, the kid ends up being a fighter and a hellraiser. I noticed some kids where their dads were meticulous and perfectionists, and the kids are meticulous and perfectionists, or they try to be. They try to be like their dad. You watch a little kid, and they walk like their dad. They'll copy walk their dad. They'll copy their dad. I remember one time I was a little kid and I had a stick, and I had a stick hanging out of my mouth, and I was sitting by the gutter, and somebody come up and asked me what I was doing. I said, I'm fishing. Well, my dad used to sit by the lake with his fishing pole, cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And that's what I copied. Kids copy their dads. It's natural. Jesus told us to copy him. See, when you get born again, you become a Christian. That's a Christ-like. You're a little anointed one. And you're a Christ follower. And Jesus actually said, you know, he didn't do anything of himself. He only did what he seen his Father do, and he said what he seen his Father say. If Jesus copied his Father like that, how much more should we copy him? I mean, we need to have a positive influence in our life. I mean, basically, in life, if you want to be successful, you need to have a role model. Boxers have role models. You know, they'll pick role models and they'll fight like them, learn stuff like that from them. You know, rodeo cowboys, they have role models. Everybody has, almost every successful person that you ever run into has a role model that they copied. They just did what they did. They said what they did. They did it the way they did it. They just copied them. Now, if we're smart enough to get that down in the natural, why wouldn't we do that in the spirit? Just copy what Jesus did. Say the things he said and do the things he did. After all, God is the ultimate Father. There's nobody who's ever had as much love for us as our Father in heaven. Even our natural fathers, as good as they may be really cool, but they don't have as much love for you as our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven gave up his only begotten Son so that we could be part of his family. How cool is that? That's big time love. I want you to look at Mark chapter 14, verse 36. Mark chapter 14, verse 36. And this is Jesus talking again. Remember our role model? And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me, nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. Abba. Abba. It means daddy, daddy. That's how God wants us to look to him, as daddy. You know, you see little kids and something happens and they run to their father. They're saying, daddy, daddy. Yeah, they're not. I mean, some of the more, I don't know what you call them. Some kids are raised different and they'll call their dad's father. Most of us call them daddy. We're running to daddy. Daddy's a big name. And that's what Abba means. Jesus was calling on daddy. Let me ask you, as a father, when your little kid come running up to you hollering, daddy, daddy, didn't that pull on your heart? That's got to be a special feeling. And then you pick them up. You can't help but pick them up. Also, I want you to look over here to Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." When you got born again, you got adopted into the family of God. And now he wants you to call him Daddy. See, there's a habit people have of addressing him as God all the time. Here's a curious thing. When Jesus was on the cross, and he was just about ready to give up the ghost, he said, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Don't live your life as a forsaken. Live your life as an accepted. He's more than just God. He wants to be your loving heavenly Father, your loving Dad. He doesn't want to be just God. He is your Father. He bought and paid for you with the blood of His own Son. That's a great price. That's how much He loves you. Now let's look over to Galatians chapter 4. Verse 6. "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Daddy, Daddy. Now I want you to notice this. It said, "Because you are sons." See, a very peculiar thing about the prodigal son that came back. When he came back, when he was in the foreign land, he was barefoot. He was a servant. He was barefoot. When he came back, his father told him to get the sandals. He restored sonship immediately. He was no longer a servant. See, when you get born again, you're not a servant. We do serve God. Don't take that lightly. But there's a religious idea that people run around saying, "Well, we're all just lowly servants of God." No, you are not. You are sons. There's a big difference between a servant and a son. The father doesn't tell the hired man what's going on. The father will tell the son what his plans are. You are sons and daughters of God. And that's a big position. That means your daddy, who you run to in confidence, the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the gold and silver under those hills, and he's freely given all of this to you with Christ Jesus. And all you had to do is just raise your hand and say, "Jesus, be my Lord." How cool is that? See, we were all prodigal sons at one point in time. We'd all been in contact with God. Every spirit in a human being has been in contact with God. That's why we have such a craving for the supernatural, because we've been in contact with the supernatural God, the miracle working God. We've been in contact with Him. And that's why the Bible tells us, you know, there's a certain age, you know, when you get to be a certain age of accountability, that you must make a decision for Jesus one way or the other. Whether you want to be in this covenant or not. But you notice little kids are in tune with God a lot of times. You ever notice little kids know things that they shouldn't know? That's because they're in contact with our Creator, our Heavenly Father. And then when they get born again, now they're forever in contact with Him. And He said He would never leave you nor forsake you. One man told me he went to college and he got married and he decided he was going to go home visit his mom and dad. So he went home and his dad said, come out here to the shop. So he went out to the shop and he said his bowl that he always ate out of was on the bench and his dad's hammer was on the bench. And he thought his dad had lost his mind because he always kept everything meticulously clean, put up. And he said his dad took that hammer and smashed that bowl and said, you don't live here anymore, boy. And he fell back in his, he had a recliner in his shop and he started laughing. And he sat there and he looked at his dad like he must have lost his mind. he said, his dad said, you don't live here anymore, boy. And he started laughing. God's not that way. He's on our side always. Now, you know, when we get home or when we get grown up, we have a tendency to used to leave home and go find a job and go support yourself. Some people have a failure to launch. But some of them are actually allowed to come home and visit. And some of them come home and stay a while. Some of them don't ever want to come home again. See how various different situations we have within the natural. But with God, we're always welcome home. He said He'd never leave us nor forsake us. We always have a home. In fact, He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. And He prepares a place for us. Jesus is coming back. And He will complete our redemption. And then we'll know the true depths of His love for us. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus for this day. Father, we thank You for everything that fathers do for us every day. Father, we thank You for the praying fathers who pray for their children and promote their children and lift them up and use You as their example of fatherhood. So this day, Father, we just ask You that You hold all fathers up strong and encourage them that even in this time and day where it seems dark and bleak, that they lean on You and lean into You, they will succeed. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we have a lot of food back here. Better come on back.